So if you want to say, well, that was for the temple and that was for holy purposes and what, hey, we're the temple and our lives are created for holy purposes. So if the Holy Spirit now fills us, the purposes of our life are to be the temple of God and to go and do what he's called us to do. There are divine purposes and plans for our life, and the Holy Spirit fills us. And it doesn't just fill us to be in church. He doesn't just fill us. It's not like you didn't have a Holy Spirit. You walk through the doors, and then you're like, the Holy Spirit fills you. And then you're like, now I can worship. And the Bible says we worship in spirit and truth. Now I can worship in spirit and truth. Or now I can lay hands on the sick, and they can recover. We have prayer teams at the end of the service, and we love to see people get healed. We love to see the Spirit of God move. We love to see relationships restored and just amazing gifts and things like that. We love that. So it's not that when I walk through the door, I get the Holy Spirit, and then I can do my church stuff, and then I walk out the door. All right, it's like, you know, when you walk in, you hang up your umbrellas and your coats or whatever. It's not like when you walk out, you hang up your Holy Spirit at the door and then walk out. He fills us for life. Amen? So if that's milking cows, if that's raising children, if that's working at a school, if that's working at a concession stand or as a waitress, if that's being a carpenter, if that's being retired, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit anoints you for life, for his purposes in your life. Whether that's to unlock the Word of God for you, whether that's to unlock relationships, whether it's to give you understanding of some situation and discernment, whether it's to do your driving your semi better or hauling cattle or whatever it is, planting crops, to give you better understanding and better discernment, the Holy Spirit is there to do that for his glory and his purposes. But it's not just for church. That's what I wanted to, the point that I wanted to get across last time, is that the Holy Spirit fills us for life. For our life, we see him the very first time the Holy Spirit fills someone that we have recorded. That's what happened. And we have purposes as the temple today. So, before I get to that next scripture, I have a concept where we're going somewhere today. The next thing that I see the Holy Spirit doing. And it was tough for me to explain. And so I actually asked Stephen this morning. He was asking, how's it going? What are you going to be preaching on? So I was talking to him, and I said, it's tough to explain. And he thought for a second. He said, wow, you're right. So sometimes when you're trying to come up with an explanation for something, thinking about the opposite of it helps, doesn't it? Like sometimes if you can't define what light is, well, here's dark. There's no light in dark. Okay. So if there is light, it pushes away darkness, and then you can see things, you know, like that. So one of the directions that we're going this morning is I want to talk about life. And life is a little hard to explain. And so I just thought, just right away, real quick, what's the opposite of life? Death. You guys are very tentative today. I know it's death, but should I say it? You should say it. Death. So in the scripture, we see that it's all about life and death. Really. I mean, from beginning to end, we see God creating life. We see Adam taking of the tree and disobeying God, and what showed up in the world? Death. Amen. Not amen, good, but amen, you're correct. Amen. Death showed up because of Adam's disobedience. That's how death came to us. So when we're answering the questions that people have today, well, if God's so good, why does, and fill in the blank, and there's usually some kind of evil thing happening there. And I don't know if you've heard any of those kind of questions in your circles or friends or family or people that are frustrated with God or atheists or maybe just whatever, just have a problem with God. If God is so good, or if you believe in God, then why would your God do such and such? And almost always the answer really, I mean, those are complicated questions, but can be traced back to the garden. It can be traced back to, you know what? We were given dominion over this whole globe here. And we gave it away. And so what got to reign, what got to rule on this earth was Satan. Because we were in charge. Us. We had that mantle. We had that signed paper. It was ours. This was our planet. And we gave it to Satan. He tricked us out of it. When Adam sinned, It wasn't just a bad thing. It wasn't just like, oh, naughty Adam. He gave away control of the earth to another entity. Like, I think we often don't understand that. We just think, well, yeah, Jesus had to come because Adam sinned. You know, like, that's kind of as deep as it goes. But if we don't understand that we had dominion, this was our planet. And we don't even really understand kind of the full scope of how much we got to rule and control things here. And Satan came and we disobeyed, and then he got to take that. And you see, when Jesus came, Satan took him up on a high mountain. Satan said, hey, Jesus, paraphrasing here, you know who owns all this? Suspenders. Yep, that's me. And Jesus didn't argue with him. Jesus didn't say, this is all God. You know, he understood what Satan was saying, the dominion part of it. I mean, the Bible also says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. Like, there's that part of it as well. But the dominion part of it, the rulership, the owner, like the ability to influence things on this earth was given away to Satan. And Jesus took it back. So there's that now, that power struggle. It's been given back to us, and that's why we wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle with those authorities that were in power and want to stay in power, but we now have legal right to take some of that back, or take all of that back, but they don't always want to give it up very willingly. We ever had Callie, she walks around the table hanging on. So if we ever happen to leave the remote out, you guys ever had toddlers around? That look that they get when they get something that they know they're not supposed to have, she's booking it. All of a sudden, she can run a marathon, man. She's like, I can do this because I got something I'm not supposed to have. Well, that's kind of what the demonic powers are like now. They know that it's not theirs, but they're not letting it go without a fight. And so that's what you're up against. That's what you're up against in this fallen world. And that's why it looks so ugly. So I digress, but in the Bible here, we see in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, and this is after a long dissertation from Moses, and really the day that they kind of made the covenant with Israel. And this is just one verse out of there. This day I call heavens and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you, say it with me, life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children might live. Choose life. So this whole idea of big, vague concept of death, big, vague concept of life, okay? There's death, icky, dying, you know, whatever's included with that. Life, living, fullness, you know, health, joy, whatever. Everything that's included with that. And Moses is telling them, according to God, this is now your choice. We're making this covenant. And you can choose either to walk in death or to walk in life. We would never think in terms like that today. Like, once in a while we stumble into it and we're like, ooh, yeah, this is bad. But he's laying it out there and he's saying, you get to choose death or life. We're just kind of setting a stage here. But another one, Proverbs 18:21, you guys have all heard this one. The tongue, oh, if we could only remember this one more often. Yowzers. The tongue has the power. Like, there's times where you think the Bible can't, like, it doesn't really mean that, right? Like, it doesn't. If you're reading your Bibles like you really should be reading your Bibles, I hope you're having moments where you're really questioning. The pastor said you should question. Like, I mean, I hope that you are getting it. Like, this is so profound. Like, really? Can it really mean that? That's what I'm saying. And it's true. Please. The Bible is true. Every word. But that in our humanness, we're going, whoa, that's a profound statement. The tongue has the power of life and death. Life and death. Just heard a story the other day, just in the last week, of someone who, and I can't remember any of the details, but it was something that was said to them when they were like 5 years old, and they're now in their 30s or 40s, and there's this huge struggle in their life of them trying to overcome that statement. And I think if we were really honest, all of us probably have those blessings and woundings in our heart. I remember when I was at my worst point before I came back to Christ, and I know I've shared this story here before, but it bears repeating. And this is just encouragement for you parents. My folks had kicked me out of the house, which is the most amazing thing they could have ever done. Loved me to pieces, but just said, you're not bringing your chaos into our house. We'll love you, but we have to love you from a distance right now. Boundaries are healthy, parents. Oh my goodness. So many families are just being destroyed because we don't understand boundaries. My parents understood boundaries. They're like, you can't change our love for you, but you can't cross this line either. Like, it's enough. So they gave me the boot. So they needed some work on their deck. And I went and I was working on their deck. And I was putting the railing on the left side. I still remember it. Mom came out and said, you know, your dad says something like, you know, don't really agree with your choices or whatever, but you are an amazing man. That stuff goes deep. Use your words for life. So that's not what our message is today, but yeah.
Can I just share that
piece? Yeah. Yeah.
During that time, it runs in the family. During that time, I was so scared because I would hear things he was doing. And I kept saying, he's going to kill himself. He's going to roll that pick. He's going to roll that vehicle, you know, different things like that, what that I would hear. And finally, one day, the Holy Spirit said to me, stop cursing him and start blessing him. And he taught me. Kirk's graduation picture was on the wall. And he'd just lead me over there, and I would lay my hands on. I'm not saying you have to lay your hands on a picture, but it helped at that time. I would lay my hands on him, and God would just give me words. I speak life. I speak freedom. I speak deliverance. And Kirk has said that he knew he could feel the change, the breaking point. So if you want to speak out words that'll curse your kid, which just means the opposite of what God wants to do, remember.
Yeah, exactly. And the cursings come so naturally. We don't even try to. They're just right there. You don't have to work at those. The blessings take a little more work because they're spiritual. It's life. And so you have to engage a deeper part of you. Your flesh can curse, right? Even if it's just responding in fear, and I don't mean like swear word curse. I mean just like cursing. This is going to happen. Saying the opposite of what a blessing is. So that's just a powerful point, and I was living in Webster, and it was bad. It was death and darkness at its finest. And I can remember almost to the moment. I mean, not exactly, but that season, like I knew something changed. I knew something's. I couldn't put words to it like this now, but I knew something spiritually. I just knew something in me changed. Like I, you know, didn't love Jesus all of a sudden, but just like. Like I was being drawn, like something in my heart changed in those moments. And I just love those keys that the Holy Spirit will teach us. We're teaching this whole series on the Holy Spirit. That's a Holy Spirit key. The Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, hey, this is a key. Well, let's see. Does that fit with the Word of God? Absolutely. There's power of life and death in the tongue. Of course that fits. And we always want to weigh things that the Holy Spirit is telling us against the Word of God. Am I hearing this accurately? Does it fit with the Word of God? And that's a great test to hear, to see if we're hearing the Word of God or not. And so she did that, and things really switched in my life. And so I can tell you about death. So when we think of death, I mean, there's all these different things. You think of death like, okay, life ends, right? You know, the coffin, we're going to have a funeral here Saturday, celebrating someone's life. They're not living anymore. They're now dead, right? That cease to live. But there's more than that. Man, there's just this, there's an atmosphere of death. There's a spirit of death. There's death of dreams. There's emotional death. There's there's this absence of life. I can tell you in my relationship with Marnie in our early years, I was killing my wife. And if you've been in our marriage deals, you've heard this story many times. This is a story that we always share. I didn't have the tools, the relationship tools. I didn't know how to do relationships well. Kind of a bull in a china shop guy, you know. And just I'll either fight it out or fight it with words or whatever. Like, just, we're going to get this done. And so my personality was so strong and her personality was such a people pleaser that I was just killing her. And I didn't know that. And so one day, I, as dull as I am, and trust me, dull, I figured out one day, and she maybe told me, but I figured out, at least in my intuition, that something's happening to my wife. She's disappearing. Maybe I couldn't put words to it, but when we ended up having the conversation, whether when she got brave enough to actually tell me, you're killing me. I can't be everything you want me to be. Because I'm a little particular. I'm trying to mellow out, but it's terrible. And so you should do things this way, and you should think this way. And so when we're first married, those first few years, I was just so dominating, and I didn't even realize that I was being that. And if you would have asked me and hooked me up to a lie detector, do you love your wife? Yes. She's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I was serious, and I was honest, and I thought, and I was doing my best. But I didn't have the keys and the tools and the understanding. And that's what so many of us, in especially even in Christian marriage, we don't understand. We're not emotionally healthy enough to even understand relationships. And a lot of this I've learned in the last few years. Some of you guys have come out of homes where this is fantastic. You just do it like you breathe. You do relationships really well. A lot of us struggle at this garbage. And it's garbage until you get the right tools. Then it's like glorious. Why didn't someone tell me this a long time ago? We didn't know about honoring other people and walking in forgiveness. And just like we knew just kind of through just muscling our way through things. And so we just have this idea of, well, if you have Jesus, then everything's going to be good, right? Not at all. Not even a little bit. If you have Jesus, you have salvation and you have access to all these things, but it doesn't mean you automatically have them. You have access to all this, but there's a process. You have to unlearn a lot of garbage before you can learn the stuff. And so I was just beating the life out of her verbally, and not like you're stupid, and not nothing like that. Not like, but just trying to make her look like me. And she finally said, we don't need two of you. I'm like, oh, Lord, I would kill me in a heartbeat. Like, I just, yeah, that's what's happening? Whoa, I would hate that. Like, the reason I'm attracted to you because you're the opposite of me. And I didn't realize that being so dogmatic and so, like, I was just killing her. And there was death happening. That's another kind of death. There was emotional and relational and identity death. And that's been a long process to undo some of that and to relearn how to just be human, how to let someone, and better yet, how to let someone else be human in proximity to you. That's powerful right there. How to give someone else to be permission to be human while they're in close proximity to you. That's tricky business. Especially when they're in your kitchen and bedroom. It's tough stuff. Relationships are difficult, but with Jesus, there's access to all this new way of thinking. So, wow, didn't mean to really go down that path a lot, but it's true. You guys have heard the stories. I just look all over there. I see our little marriage people all over the place. I'm like, yeah, you guys heard the story before. But it's true. That's death, and that's not what God wants. That's not what God wants. The Holy Spirit brings life. That's our point for today. Our point for today is this. Well, let's look through scriptures and see what the Holy Spirit does. What does the Holy Spirit do? I know we kind of took the long way around to get there, but the Holy Spirit brings life. And this is something that is passionately important to Marnie and I. We want, at this church, at Christian Outreach Center, and in our lives and in our family, this is a driving force. If you want to know who Kirk and Marnie is, if you cut us, we bleed this. We bleed life. I could care two hoots for doing another church program just to say that we're doing another church program. We want everything that we do to have life in it. We don't want to do things just out of the flesh or just, and I'm not saying that we don't have spiritual disciplines. We do. I mean, there's things that you do that's, oh, well, I'm just not feeling the spirit this morning to pray. Just shut up and pray. You know what I mean? Like, there's sometimes where you discipline your flesh. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that everything that we do, that we initiate in our flesh, is bathed in the breath of the Spirit. That it has, because we know that it's the Holy Spirit that brings life to stuff. And so the point this morning is that the Holy Spirit brings life. Where He shows up, life happens. Come on. Where God shows up, where His presence shows up, when the Holy Spirit's in us, when He's in you, when His presence is manifest here, life shows up. So we can, in a subtle way, we can choose life or death. We can choose to walk in our flesh. We're still going to heaven, praise God, right? You know what I mean? We're still, glory, glory. But the things that we're creating is death. I don't know if you understand that or not, because I hardly do. If we're doing things in the Spirit, because often it looks exactly the same. It looks like, well, I'm going to my family's for Christmas and we're going to talk or whatever. If I'm initiating conversations, if I'm responding, if I'm reacting to my spouse in the flesh, what happens? They torque me off. I'm going to get back at them. Or you can't treat me like that. We might not say that out loud, but in our heads, you don't have the right to treat me like that. We're supposed to be, you know what I mean? Or how dare you kids or whatever. In our flesh, we want to react like that, don't we? No? You guys are not telling the truth. But in the Spirit, we get, not have to, we get to have a higher plane of acting and reacting. We get to respond in the Holy Spirit. So when someone comes at us, you know, with grumpiness or something that's unfair, we can either retaliate in our flesh, and that brings death, or we can respond through the Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit shows up, there's life. So we can say, we can set boundaries. We can say, hey, gosh, I really want to have a conversation with you right now, but I'm feeling pretty attacked and you're really just grumpy. So I'm going to go in the other room. If you want to finish this conversation, I'm not being nasty. I'm not being cynical. I really do want to talk about this. I'm just going to head over there. Come and get me when you're ready to have a conversation. Because right now you just want to yell. And that's fine. If you need to yell, that's okay. Like, we're in this together. But if you want to have a conversation, let's talk this through. You know what I mean? That's Spirit initiated. We're not lashing back. And it might look different in your place or whatever, but there's ways that we can do things that are breathed on by the Spirit. And when that happens, that brings life. Romans 8:2 says this: because of what Christ Jesus has done, you are free. You are now controlled by the law of the Holy Spirit, who gives you, everybody say it, life. The law of the Spirit frees you from the law of sin that brings death. Again, there's another contrast right away in the Word of God that we see. Holy Spirit brings life. Other things of the law or things of the flesh bring death. They bring death. They might produce results, but the system that they're in is death. Like, you can get someone you can get your kids to respond out of fear and intimidation, and there should be a little bit of healthy dose of that. But if that's the only tool you have in your tool belt, you're going to have some kids that don't ever, once they get to be 18, they're never going to talk to you again. So if that's our only tool, we got a problem. So we can get people to respond through manipulation. We can do that. But that system creates death. It creates disconnection. It creates hurt. It creates unforgiveness. It creates wounding. So we see here that the law of the Holy Spirit gives you life. Here's a really interesting fact. Our Hebrew word of the day, we haven't done a Hebrew or Greek word for a while. The Hebrew word ruach means wind or breath or spirit. The corresponding Greek word is pneuma. So if it's in the Hebrew, it's ruach. If it's in the Greek, it's pneuma. Both words are commonly used in passages referring to the Holy Spirit. So you'll find that word where it's talking about the Holy Spirit. You'll see that word ruach. And so All of the commentators that I read said this, said the Hebrew word is ruach, and it sounds like what it is. It sounds like breath, or it sounds like wind. Ruach. I don't know if that's supposed to be quite so hard on there, but ruach, it means breath, wind, spirit. So the same word for breath is the same word for spirit. Breath, spirit. Breath, spirit. Breath, spirit. Same word. Ruach. Genesis 1:2 is the first time we see this. The Spirit of God, we hit this verse really hard a couple weeks ago. We spent time on the hovering word. Now we're going to look at the Spirit of God word. The Spirit of God, Ruach Elohim, was hovering over the waters. That's the first place that we see that word. This time it's translated spirit. But the breath of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God. Spirit and breath are the same thing. There's a point to all this. This word is important for a reason. Genesis 6:17. Okay, so we're getting ready. You guys remember the flood? Well, I mean, you probably weren't there, but you remember learning about it? Okay. Who was, how old was Moses when he built the ark? You're too smart for that. Noah was the one that built the ark. I fall for that kind of stuff all the time. They ask questions like that, and I'm like, oh, I think he was, oh, you mean Noah? I'm like, oh, drat. So this is the story of Noah, and God said, I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life, say all life, all life under the heavens, every creature that has ruach of life in it. The breath of life, the spirit of life, everything on earth will perish. So we see that this word spirit and life, the Holy Spirit brings life. He brings breath. When God breathes on things, things come alive. What does it mean for something to live? And so I was trying to define this. What do we mean by alive? How would you define alive? You could define it emotionally. You could define it scientifically. I kind of looked up some Bible definitions. You get pretty deep in the weeds real fast. I'm like, whoa, okay, can we have something simple to define this? And I couldn't really find anything. So I've just been really kind of searching my own heart and experience, thinking about what am I talking about if something has life in it? One of the words that we use is animated. It moves, it has motion, it's, you know what I mean? Like, whether it's a plant, I mean, think of all the things that are alive, a plant or a bird or a people, they move, right? One of the things that you find when death shows up is no more movement, correct? Okay, I didn't know if I still had you or not. We move. In him we live and move and have our being, right? There's movement, there's growth, there's interaction. That was one of the words that when I was asking somebody else about life, they're like, there's this interaction. So if something's alive, a puppy, like it can't maybe speak, you know, English words, but we interact with a puppy. Oh, puppy, want to go outside, right? We're able to communicate, at least on a rudimentary level. We can interact with it. Now, if you're too embarrassed, that's okay, but how many talk to your plants? Not a one of you. A little bit. Stan says a little bit. Do the ones that you talk to, do they grow bigger and stronger? They do. Yep. Okay. You heard it from the gardener. He's retired, so he should know. So we can interact with our plants. We can train our vines how to grow and stuff, and they can respond to that. We can give them, you know, any farmer, this is, you're like, well, of course. You know, you give them the right nutrients, and they respond, right? Do you know what I mean? There's an interaction. Things that are alive, they move, they grow, they respond. We can interact with them. Here's another one I thought of this morning. They replenish themselves. Like you sleep, and then you're kind of rejuvenated, right? You eat, and then you're, okay, now I have more energy. Pull off a leaf on a tree, another one can grow out or whatever. Like something that's not alive, it just gets used up, and then it's done. You know, there might be some, maybe an apple, you pull it off the tree. Well, I don't know when it stops being alive or whatever, but you can ingest that and it can do something, but then it's done. And once it stops replenishing itself, then decay starts. Correct? whether that's a something, you know, anything that's living, then the cycle of death takes over and it starts to decay. We don't want decaying things in our life. The things of the flesh cause decay. They cause our relationships to decay. They cause our joy to decay. They cause our hope to decay. We want the things of the Spirit. We want the mind of the Spirit. We want the breath of God, because the opposite of that happens. This rejuvenation, this replenishing. Also, here's what was a really interesting one I thought of this morning. Everything that's living, and you could probably give me an example that doesn't fit this, but I couldn't think of one. To the best of my understanding, everything that's living, everything that's alive is part of a system. Everything. Everything. Plants, well, they get their sunlight, and then there's chlorophyll, and then they process, and then they, you know what, and then they give off, in nursing, systems, everything living, there's systems, there are all kinds of systems. Like, in the body of Christ, we're a system here. Jesus is the head, we're the body, and we need one another, and there's growth, and there's movement, and so that was something else that I just thought of this morning. I thought that fit in really well with the church, you know, something living. So Spirit brings life. It helps us be connected to systems and to interact and to have the things of God flow through us. Next we have, this is from gotquestions.org. It's kind of an apologetic site. I wanted to list this quote. I'm talking about that word Ruach. Ruach is the source of life. The Ruach of God is the one who gives life to all creation, the breath of God. We could say that God's Ruach, God's Spirit or God's breath, has created every other non-divine, meaning not God. So everything else that's living that's not God, every other non-divine Ruach that exists. All living creatures owe the breath of life to the creative Spirit of God. Let me say that again. All living creatures owe the breath of life to the creative Spirit of God. Moses stated this truth explicitly. That's in Numbers 16 and Numbers 27. God gives, quote, God gives breath or ruach to all living things. So that's from that website. This is from Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology. I know you all probably have a couple copies on your shelf at home. Just in case you didn't read today's, no, this it's not really a devotional. It's a big, thick book. They say this, life is contingent upon the continuing, sustaining breath of God. When God ceases to breathe, life is no more. Death is frequently described as the cessation of this divine activity. When the breathing stops, when the breath stops, when the spirit stops interacting with the body, life stops. Life is contingent upon the continuing, sustaining breath of God. When God ceases to breathe, life is no more. Genesis 2:7 says this, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, ruach, and the man became a living being. So you have all of the components necessary for man to be man. He's got skin and organs and a nervous system and a brain, and everything is fully functioning, but he's just stuff. And God comes and breathes into him, and then man becomes living. Do you see the Holy Spirit's work here? It's that breath of God, that Spirit of God that brings life. And I just want to say that the Spirit of God for us today is wanting to do those same things. God's wanting to show up in our relationships. He's wanting to show up in our prayer moments. He's wanting to show up in our worship. He's wanting to have that breath of God, because there's all these things that we can just do in the flesh. We can just do our, and I don't want this to sound harsher than it is, because I don't mean this to be really harsh and nasty. I'm not saying it like that. But we can do our religious activity. And sometimes when people say that, they have their fist in the air and they're being really condescending. And that's not what I'm meaning. I'm meaning that without the breath of the Spirit, without God breathing on stuff, we can do all kinds of good things, but they don't produce what we really want to see happen. And sometimes we do things just out of faithfulness, but if we're never contending for that, God, I need you to breathe on this. Holy Spirit, I'm recognizing your presence here. God, I want you to fill my life. I want you to fill my family. If we're not interacting with that, because it's a relationship. It's so hard to explain. Does God want all people to be saved? Yes, we see that. God so loved the world, he wishes that none would perish. Well, then why doesn't God just save everyone? Because he placed it upon us to bring out the gospel. Well, that seems silly. If God wants to do something, he should just do it. I agree with that statement. But unfortunately, I'm not God. Fortunately, I'm not God. And for this conversation, that's not how he did it. The same is true with this in our lives. Well, if he's life, if he's the spirit of life, well, then I'm just going to be, I have the Holy Spirit in me, I'm just going to be full of life then. Yes, you will, but it's this process of stewarding that. It's this process of, I can do this in the flesh, and I can also do this in the spirit, and it's the same thing, but I know this is a little hard to understand, but it's like, if I just pray, and I'm just like, now I lay me down to sleep, or whatever, fill in the blanks with whatever prayer you're praying, and maybe you're just not even praying one that's all pre-written, maybe you're just praying. If you're just saying those words, I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm saying that if you're stopping and saying, okay, God, I'm going to say these words, I don't always know exactly what to say, but God, I want these to be filled with life. Help me to say the right words. Holy Spirit, guide what, do you know what I'm saying? There's a difference. I don't have all the details worked out, but I do know there's a difference. And it's the same with sharing your faith with someone. You can stand out there all day long and you probably will get a result or two. Hey, you're going to hell and you're going to hell and you're going to hell if you don't know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And that might be true, but if we're flip that and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I want to go out and you lead me to whose heart is already ready, and I'm going to go to anyone you tell me to go to, and I want it to be led by the Spirit. Do you see what I mean? It's the same exact thing. You're telling people about Jesus both times, but one is going to often produce life, and one isn't. And because of the grace of God, even things in our flesh can be redeemed and used of God, and even things that we do that aren't breathed on by the Spirit. But I'm saying that I'm just trying to open up our understanding that we want the Holy Spirit to breathe on everything we're doing, from our marriages. I want God to show up in my marriage. Without Jesus, without God's grace on our life, you don't want to be in the same room with me. I mean, just for sure, Marnie doesn't. I want that tempering beauty of God to rest on me so that she doesn't have to see so much of my flesh and she can see more of Jesus in me. And the Holy Spirit will breathe on that. But we have to be willing partners. That's what I'm saying, is that all of this is available, yet there's that tricky part where I have to want to interact with God on that. Let's see if we can just get a couple more in here. Job 27:3-4 says, As long as I have life within me, the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not say anything wicked. Job 33:4 says, the Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life. I'm going to go through just a couple more. Talking about the breath, the Spirit of God that just brings this life that's in us. Psalm 104:27-28 says, all creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open up your hand, they're satisfied with good things. They're talking about all of God's creatures here. The next couple of verses say, when you hide your face, they're terrified. Listen to this. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created. When you send your spirit, they are created. That's every living creature. 2 Corinthians 3:6, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but what does the Spirit do? The Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. And that's what we want. Romans 8:11. I just want you to see that there's a pattern of this, Old and New Testament. So I'm just shotgunning verses on you right now. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give what? Life to your mortal bodies. Because why? Because of his Spirit. He'll give life to your bodies. Why? Because of his Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings life. Well, what are, how are we interacting with God? I love Jesus. I'm going to heaven. End of story. Okay, great. But we're missing out on the life of God if we don't invite the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within us on a daily basis. That's my point for this morning, is the Holy Spirit brings life. He brings life. Ruach, that breath of God, that, wow, I did this before and it was just ugly. Now I did it this time and wow. Life happened, like, wow, restoration, forgiveness, wow, I prayed beforehand, I'm like, God, I need your help, I need you to breathe on this, because I'm struggling here, and God did, and the Holy Spirit came, and like, I didn't have tingle bumps or nothing, but just all of a sudden, I knew that God was just putting words in my mouth, and he was just breathing life on it, and good things are happening now. Ruach, it's the breath of God. I don't know about you, but finish up with this. Evidently I sigh a lot. Marnie will be in the kitchen. She's like, what? I'm like, what? It's like you went, like, it did? You did. It was loud. I'm like, oh, sorry. What were you thinking about? Oh, yeah, I was in, like, I didn't even realize that I did. So apparently I have heavy sighs. I don't know if you're a sigher or if you're one of these, if you're one of, I don't really want to say anything. So. And what are we looking for? It's kind of a subtle invitation for someone to enter my world and give me a little bit of encouragement, isn't it? And there's nothing wrong with that. But we know what we mean, don't we? Like, you can fill in the blanks. You go, like, he probably had a bad day, or, oh, he's upset about something, right? And I just want to tell you, just the next time that you do a, I want you to remember this. The Ruach, the breath of God, is available. And just as easily as you can do a, you can do a, I just did, okay, or, do you see what I mean? That's three breaths right there. Two of them are really good. You choose. You choose. You choose. I'm not saying don't have emotions, don't be frustrated. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying the next time you catch yourself, remember, Ruach, the breath of God. Wait a minute. God, breathe on this. Next time those cattle are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, you're going to go, look at what God's going to do. Maybe the cattle are going to do the exact same thing, but God's going to be working in your heart to bring patience and stillness and calm. You want me to keep talking? Do you know what I mean? It's available, but it doesn't mean that we have it, because we need to interact with the Spirit of God to let that process be Spirit-led and Spirit-filled in our lives. So the next time we want to remember, stand in wonder of what God wants to do. Just invite the Holy Spirit, just a quick prayer. Holy Spirit, whatever this is going on, I need you to breathe on that. Amen? Yeah.